Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up later, I'll be speaking to Bill Vaughan, Development Officer with Mental Health Ireland, who are running a series of talk and walk events in May, which are being backed by the Irish Farmers Association. But first this evening, it emerged this week that the EU Budget Commissioner Gunther Oettinger is proposing a 5% cut to the Common Agricultural Policy in the new multi-annual financial framework due to run from 2021 to 2027. To get some more detail, I've been speaking with Phelim O'Neill, the Global Market Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. He spoke to me from Brussels, where he had been at the formal announcement of the proposed changes.
Hello, Chris. This is indeed a red letter day in Brussels because it's been trailed this several months that there was going to be a cut to the Common Agriculture Policy budget. At the start, figures of 30% and 25% were floated. I suppose that's maybe how these negotiations work. You start off with the worst possible news and then you get it gradually reduced. Now, I know at one point earlier this year, the Budget Commissioner, Commissioner Oettinger, was in the Oireachtas meeting the committees and would have said there, look, the best case scenario would be 6%. It turns out, in fact, and apparently it was after all night negotiations, that they settled on a figure of 5% overall in agriculture. But in terms of direct payments to farmers, that it would be limited to 4%. The EU Agriculture Commissioner would have spoken after the Budget Commissioner to, I suppose, explain a little further what it meant. And this kind of ties in too with the leaked proposals that we got our hands on last week as to what might happen in the from the point of view of the Common Agriculture Policy proposals. He has set down a line in the sand of a €60,000 top line payment for farmers. Now, again, for most Irish farmers, that they don't come anywhere near that in terms of what they get in a cap payment. But if any money that's saved from farmers, taking it off farmers that have got over 60,000 basically, is to be retained by the national government, and that can be redistributed to smaller and medium farmers. So I suppose what the Commissioner was trying to push by the end of today was that when this redistribution is taken into place, that your average Irish claimant of a cap payment of 40 hectares or thereabouts should receive little, if indeed any, reduction. Now, that's fine, and it's a good damage limitation exercise on the part of the Commissioner. Look, the reality is, from a farming point of view, and there's other people that have crunched numbers that said, look, there hasn't been a meaningful indexation of payments, cap payments, for the past few reforms at this stage, or the past few budgets. And if you take on an index based, the Common Agriculture Policy has dropped down from being over 70% of the budget to now around 30%. So, look, it's not what you'd wanted, but then again, the Commissioner will point out that with the UK leaving and a €12 billion gap in the budget, there was always going to be a hit. So it's a case of explaining, I suppose, what is unpalatable news. At the end of the day, farmers don't need any cut in the Common Agriculture Policy, full stop.
Yeah, now, as you alluded to there, with Britain withdrawing from the European Union, €12 billion or so their net contribution, Phil Hogan, I see, has said it's a very fair outcome, and I suppose 5%, it could have been worse.
Well, and again, you would expect him to say that, I suppose, because he has been in fighting the corner for agriculture and making the case for a strong cap payment. So naturally, he's invested in it, and you could make that case. But look, the reality is, farming has shrunk as a priority in European Union circles, and we would have put it to the Commissioner this evening in an interview that we had with him after the presentations, that what's really needed here is that the member states of the European Union step up to bridge that gap that's created by the UK departure. You know, if the EU27 are serious about moving on and developing the union post the UK's membership, then they need to be prepared to invest in it. And it's not in relative terms that we're talking about an awful lot of money. We're talking about 1% of the national budgets that currently go into the EU, overall EU budget, which funds the CAP. Now, if you move that to 1.1, 1.2 or even 1.3%, whilst it's a lot of money in number terms, in absolute terms, as a relative portion of national budgets, relatively small. And that's where it was, in fact, back in the 1990s, and it had been the UK that would have led the drive to reduce the overall budget. So that's what has squeezed recent caps, and it's squeezing this one as well. So over 20 member states would be of a mind that they should pay more. there is a hard core, I suppose, of what you call the Nordic countries and the Scandinavians, Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, for example, that would be against an increase in the budget. But if they could be brought on board, there's over 20 countries that are already on side. So I'm not sure that that this is over yet. I think this is we should see today as the opening pitch in it. If other member states could be persuaded to put their hand in their pocket a little bit more, then the whole issue could be revisited again, and we could actually see that maybe we wouldn't have to go to the extent of cuts that's been talked about.
Yeah, and member states will be given more responsibility for making, I suppose, a better use of the agricultural budget.
That is one of the big changes that is proposed in the CAP post 2020. You know, I suppose there's been and Brexit's caused this rethink to some extent as well. There's been occasion where Brussels has taken the hit for everything that's gone wrong in the various member states at different times. So I think the Commissioner Hogan is of the view that, look, the EU will set the overall strategic direction and then they will invite individual member states to make a pitch for the money to fund their agriculture. They will present their plan to the European Union, it'll get approval, and then it'll be up to the member state to implement it. And I suppose in practical terms what that means is the hardball negotiations for the 2020 cap are likely to take place in Dublin as opposed to in Brussels.
And I see there is also talk of a new crisis reserve fund, so to speak.
Yes, and again, this is, I suppose, a reflection of things that have happened that were, if you like, nobody's fault or outside everyone's control. One of the first things that Commissioner Hogan had to deal with when he took up office was the Russian ban back in 2014, and that all of a sudden removed a major market for EU exports, including Irish. And there was nowhere left for them to go. So it's to deal with that type of situation. We had the crisis in dairy there about just over a year ago where there was a collapse in prices. And I suppose there's an ambition that a fund would be created and again administered at member state level that would, if you like, act as something of an insurance policy or that they would contribute at least to an insurance type policy to try and smooth out the bumps of everyday market trade, because price volatility has been one of the big issues of farming over the past 3 or 4 years and it's a recognition of that and an attempt to address that.
And finally, Phelim O'Neill, Global Market Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. When do we think this will all actually be finally ratified?
That is a $6 million question, and all of these negotiations in Brussels, they work at their own pace. The ambition, I suppose, is the best way to describe it. You know, the present mandate and the present cycle of appointments ends next spring. There's European parliamentary elections in May of next year. There will be a new commissioner appointed next year to the start of the new term in October. So, you know, we have about a year, and the ambition and the target is that everything will be wrapped up ahead of that. It's not been unknown for things to run on beyond it, and indeed the last time it was, there was a year actually missed out of the cycle because negotiations were so protracted. This time round, everyone is of a view that they start the process now, the negotiations begin in earnest. It has to get approved by the Council of Ministers, which is the political representatives from the individual countries, by the European Parliament and the Commission itself. So negotiations, if you like, today is the opening round of it, and expect it to be pretty intense over the next 12 months.
And that was Phelim O'Neill, the Global Market Specialist with the Irish Farmers Journal. On now to something completely different, yet also of considerable importance, mental health. The IFA is backing the Green Ribbon campaign, which promotes positive mental health through a number of Let's Talk and Walk events, one of which is being held in Donegal later this month. Bill Vaughan is a development officer for Mental Health Ireland here in the Northwest, and he's been telling me more.
Yes, we're holding one on the 27th in Ardsbarth Park, Chris, and it's a free event and it's open to anyone. This is the fifth year, I believe, that we're hosting it in Donegal, and it's been very successful up to now. It's really like a family day, and as part of that family day, we have different events. There is a nature walk. We have a group playing some music where the coffee hut is there. And we've always been blessed with fairly decent weather up to now, so hopefully this year it'll be the same again.
Now, some people may be wondering why the IFA are involved.
Well, yes, and that's a good question. The IFA have been involved from the start, and they have been very proactive with regard to encouraging their members to be more aware of looking after their own mental health. I've been involved with some of the events that they have been running over the last few years, and they had a very good turnout at these events, local branches of that, in which I would just give a brief talk on the importance of looking after mental health and simple things we can do to look after our mental health. And it's great that the IFA are encouraging all the members, because it can be difficult with all the stresses, like weather, finances, things like that.
And fair to say that 10, 20, 30 years ago, many people in the farming sector who may have had stress and mental health issues, they kept it to themselves. There wasn't the help there, but we live in a different age now, and it's good to talk, as they say.
Yeah, it's good to talk. But also on that too, which is interesting, when you're talking to the farming community, now it's much easier to be isolated just in a physical way because of mechanization, because they're not dependent on the farming community around them to come and help, say, whenever it's bringing in the hay or, you know, stuff like that, where it used to be very labour intensive. And a good part of that was they were more inclined to have to share problems and worries, whereas now a farmer could spend a full day on his farm without really talking to anyone.
Now, if somebody wants to find out more information about the walks or indeed Mental Health Ireland, I presume you have a website?
Yes, it's on the Mental Health Ireland website. So that's one place you can get it, mentalhealthireland.ie. It's going to be in the paper, so keep an eye in the papers, and also through, obviously, the IFA. And I would also like to mention Donegal Local Development Company, who have been very supportive over the last 4 years with the event as well, and I know they're taking care of some of the advertising as well.
And this event at Ards Forest Park, Sunday the 27th of May, it starts at 3 o'clock, and there will be people there who can point you in the right direction if required.
Yes, we'll have volunteers there for people that want to maybe just do a short boardwalk and have a nice relaxing rest. Or people, maybe if there's picnic tables there, if people want to bring picnics along. And then for anyone that wants to do a more strenuous walk, we have some volunteers who can take them on a half an hour walk or an hour walk, depending on what they want.
Bill Vaughan, Development Officer with Mental Health Ireland. And just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers making €4.10 a kilo, heifers €4.25 a kilo. Bulls, U-grade €4.20 a kilo, R-grade €4.10 a kilo, and cows making from €3.60 a kilo to €4 a kilo. Sheep prices, well, spring lamb €7 a kilo to 20 kilos, hoggets up to €6.40 a kilo to 23.5 kilos, and ewes making €3.40 to €3.50 a kilo. Well, that's it for this evening's programme. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.